Adventures of Charlie Lung. All the voices of all the characters you're about to hear come from the throat of one man, Charlie Lung, the man of 100 voices. Chapter 30, The Midnight Rendezvous. And now for the adventures of Charlie Lung. At the Lazy Y Ranch in Arizona, a chain of exciting events is unfolding. El Lobo, bandit scourge of the Badlands, whom all thought dead, reappears and tells of his miraculous escape from death and how he was nursed back to life at the little mission of La Rosita. He then promises to dedicate the life given back to riding on the side of law and order. Goldpan Jeffers and his riders, believing El Lobo will keep his promise, return his magnificent mare, Lorena. Then, Goldpan Jeffers receives a message from his ex-foreman, the double-crossing Steve Cody, a challenge to meet him in an open gun battle at Tico City. The gray-haired Jeffers prepares to leave for the gun duel, but is tricked by El Lobo, who, wishing to show his gratitude, rides in Jeffers' place. Upon arrival at the little cow town of Tico City, El Lobo sends the blacksmith to tell the bull-necked Steve Cody he is going to have to face him instead of old Jeffers. As the battered clock before the general store chimes 12, the street empties until only the two grim men remain. From the south, the stocky figure of Steve Cody, guns already drawn, cautiously moves up the winding road, seeking cover behind every storefront and abutment. From the north, the black-garbed El Lobo walks with the stealthy step of his namesake, the wolf.
Don't mind I'm going for me, Senor Cody, huh? You two gun must shoot straight for me this time. You must come out from the holster like striking rattlesnake.
As the distance between the two tense, stalking figures shortens, Steve Cody crouches lower and checks his guns again to be sure they're ready for the kill.
Well, it ain't gonna be long now, Mr. El Lobo, before you're gonna be buzzard bait.
Suddenly, both the gunmen hear each other's approaching steps, but the rambling front of the pool hall that projects and angles the sidewalk in a V before them keeps each from seeing the other. Realizing it is but a matter of moments until the showdown, they press their bodies against the rickety side walls of the pool hall and slowly inch themselves to the front. Then they come face to face. As the blue haze of gun smoke slowly clears, the spectators of the gun battle desert their safe hiding places and rush out onto the street. Before them, both smoking guns in hand, El Lobo stands motionless, while stretched on the narrow walk a few yards away is the still figure of Steve Cody. First to reach him is old Doc Rafferty, who stoops for a quick examination. As he looks up, El Lobo walks toward him.
Hello, doctor. This is Steve Cody. How bad is he hurt, huh?
Well, the saints be praised, as near as I can see. He's just got a bullet graze alongside of his head. Sure, and he's not going to die, I can tell you.
Bueno, I do not want for him to die.
By all the lakes and islands, you don't want him to die.
No, senor. I only tried to wing him. I could have easy killed him. Now, I give him to Gold Pan Jeffer, and he will turn him over to the law.
And I've got a gun in your back, El Lobo, that says you have a bill to pay to the law, too. Get your hands up.
Caramba! Whoever you are, you have drop on me, but only because you fight from the back.
Now your guns. Yeah. Thank you.
So, you are Tico City Sheriff, huh?
That's right. Sheriff Cornell, better known to my friends as Gentleman Cornell.
Your friend make one big mistake, Senor.
Indeed.
See, gentlemen do not fight from the back.
We'll discuss that when I get you to the jail.
Why'd you throw me in jail?
Because you can't come to Tico City and shoot people in cold blood. That's why.
Columba, but I beat this hombre in fair fight. So now, do you frame me, huh?
We'll let the judge decide that tomorrow.
Oh, ho, Sheriff.
Yeah, Wolf. Easy there, Sheriff. Ho, ho.
Whoa, whoa. Stop your horses. Stop, 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 stop. All right, come on, get out there, Charlie. Let's get going. Well, hey, Lobo, we read here as fast as we could. So, you met up with Steve Cody, did you? Oh, ho. He winged him, huh? Dandy, dandy, dandy.
Tell you, Jeff. But now, the sheriff, Gentleman Cornell, he wants to take me to the jailhouse.
Huh? Jailhouse? Say, you crazy, Sheriff. This here was a fair fight.
Nevertheless, I'm taking El Lobo to jail.
Yeah, huh? Bound and determined, huh?
That's right. Now, get going, El Lobo. Up to the jail, is it?
What's the matter, you? You crazy? Mr. El Lobo, he not a bad man anymore. He's a good man.
Oh, go on, pipe down, Charlie. It ain't no good. That monkey gonna put him in the jail out there for sure.
That cheap side winding, smooth talking dude, he had a fool of me, none. No, siree. Gentleman Cornell. He don't remember me, but ding busted, I remember him.
Oh, you might have met him before, Mr. Jaffa?
That burn rider did. And furthermore, he weren't no sheriff. No, siree.
See, what was it then, sir?
He was a cheap gambler. Why, they run him out of Los Guaymas in New Mexico for crooked dealing. And now he's a dealing a crooked hand to El Lobo. Well, El Lobo had the gizzard to ride down here to fight Cody for me, didn't he? Now I'm going to stay right here and put El Lobo to rights. Yes, siree. Gentleman Cornell has just dealt the last crooked card he's going to deal for a long, long time.
As Sheriff Cornell, followed by a curious crowd, marches El Lobo toward the Tico City jail, Gold Pan, Cyclone, and Charlie ride to the Antlers Hotel. Then, in the privacy of their room, discuss different plans to free El Lobo.
Well, but I'm a-telling you, Cyclone, it's again all the laws of the West. Why, Dad, bust me! That was a fair fight. It ain't legal.
Is that so?
Yeah, they can't put El Lobo in jail for that.
Yeah, they can't, huh? But he's in there, ain't he?
Yeah. But he ain't going to stay.
Holy mackerel. But how are we going to get him out, please?
Well, I'll tell you now. Listen close.
Yeah, sir.
Now, that there jail, see? Well, she's older than old Billy Bejigged. She was built about some 30 years ago. Yes, about 30, 31 years it was. And I was there the day that she was opened up.
Yeah, sir. As a customer.
Yes, as a... No, not as a customer. No, there was a shindig at the time. Kind of a formal opening.
Kind of like a housewarming, like.
Yeah, kind of a yes, I don't know. But I do remember. They have only one cell in the whole place. And that's where they're going to put El Lobo.
Oh, they only catch you one cell in the holy jail?
That Charlie just would.
But they're going to guard jail very carefully, I think. Nobody ever going to get out of that jail, I think.
Uh-huh. You don't think so, huh? Well, Charlie, I'm a little older than you are, Sonny, and I think I've already cooked up a scheme to tear that there cracker box loose.
Oh, jumping catfish, Mr. Jeffers. Is we all going to pull the jail, eh, Pop?
Well, yes and no. I calculate stretching is more the word.
But if we go up to jail, somebody they see us.
Well, we ain't going to do our remodeling job until it's dark, Charlie. Now, let's get out on the street and stretch our legs and get us all something we're going to need for tonight, for the jailbreak.
Yeah? Well, what's that, Mr. Jeffers?
I'll tell you. Some nice, strong wire rope. The loops we're going to throw tonight have got to be mighty strong. Mighty strong.
Quickly, Jeffers, Cyclone, and Charlie leave the hotel and walk to the hardware store. Goldpan buys three pieces of wire rope, each the same length as a lariat. Then they return to the hotel to discuss his plan to stretch the Tico City jail. Meanwhile, back at the Lazy Y Ranch House, Professor Beerstone and Mr. Fitzmaurice grow anxious as the hours slowly pass and Goldpan, Cyclone, and Charlie don't return. Seated at the piano, Mr. Fitzmaurice plays in an effort to relieve the nerves of himself and Professor Beerstone.
Splendid, splendid, Mr. Fitzmaurice. You are an excellent piano player. I always enjoy your music.
Well, thank you, Professor, but I've been here in the West so long now, I'm beginning to know more about branding cows than I think I do about music.
Oh, nonsense. You play remarkably well. Will you play us some more? It steadies our nerves.
Well, I'd like to, but I have the weirdest feeling that... Well, I just seem to be sure that something's gone wrong at Tico City. Here it is getting dark already, and they still have not come back.
Now, you're right. They should have returned hours ago.
Well, I hate to sound gruesome, but I have a premonition. Something seems to tell me that El Lobo is not walking around.
Great Scott, you are not trying to suggest it. That Steve Cody beat El Lobo to the draw. Why, Mr. Fitzmaurice, what is it you are thinking? Try and explain to me.
Well, Professor, it's something in my mind. It seems to be trying to tell me something, and it keeps buzzing like a bee. Like this. Of course, it may be nothing.
As night mantles the little cow town of Tico City, behind the locked door of their room in the Antlers Hotel, Goldpan Jeffers, Cyclone, and Charlie work frantically over the newly bought lengths of wire rope. What is the plan Jeffers feels so sure will free El Lobo from jail? Will they succeed? Or will fate take the side of the ex-gambler sheriff, Gentleman Cornell? Listen! In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Charlie Lung. Now, pretty quick, schools will let out for the summer, and most folks will be going on vacations. So I want to have a little talk with you right now. I want to caution you about the way you drive, the way you walk on the streets, and for you kids especially, the way you play near the streets and the highways. Now, every one of us has the tendency now and then to think that accidents happen only to the other people. That's silly, isn't it? But it's just that kind of thinking that gets us into trouble. An accident can happen to you, and if you're not keeping your wits about you all the time, you're a cinch to land in a hospital ward or on a slab in the morgue. That's a gruesome thought, I know, but let's face realities and pay attention when we're driving the car or walking on the streets. You don't want that vacation of yours ruined, do you? Okay, then. Watch what you're doing. Give the other fellow the right of way. Be considerate and polite. And above all, don't take chances. The gamble isn't worth it. The price is too great if you lose. Okay, I'll step off the soapbox. But before I do, just remember this. The life you save may be your own. Now, Charlie Lung says,
better you look twice before crossing street, because cars much quicker than walking feet.
And now back to the adventures of Charlie Lung. As a full moon rises in the heavens over the small cow town of Tico City, a tense human drama is about to unfold. El Lobo, the reformed bandit, who at high noon beat the crooked Steve Cody in a fair gunfight, has been thrown in jail by the dishonest sheriff, Gentleman Cornell. Meanwhile, in their hotel room, Gold Pan Jeffers, Cyclone, and Charlie work frantically on the lengths of wire rope that Jeffers vows will free the falsely imprisoned El Lobo. At the Tico City jail, Sheriff Cornell walks up to the barred door of El Lobo's cell.
El Lobo! El Lobo! Come over here to the cell door.
What do you want with me? I prefer to sleep than talk with Cheap Tinhorn, who framed me into jail.
Oh, forgive me. I thought you might be interested in getting out of jail.
What do you mean, get out?
Well, now I detect a little interest. Step lively and listen to me.
Oh. You are going to let me out of jail, huh?
Well, that depends some on you.
What do you mean?
Hello, Bo. I understand you have a considerable amount of money that you made by selling Russell beef.
Caramba, what good does money do for me if I'm in jailhouse?
Well, none at all, of course. But as I could use a little extra money right now, we might be able to work out some kind of a deal. You might get out of jail, and I might get the money. Right?
So that is it, huh? Why, you cheap double-cross. You come to... Never mind. I am excited. How much money you want, Senor Sheriff?
$1,000.
$1,000? That is a lot of money, Senor.
El Lobo, sometimes freedom comes rather high. But if you prefer staying in jail, let you stay in.
Oye, amigo. I will pay you. I'll pay anything to be free.
Well, I thought that you'd see it my way. Now, how do I get the $1,000? I know you don't have it with you.
No, senor. But I have a key to room where it is hidden.
Oh, very well, then give me the key. Tell me the location of the room and where the money is. And you have the word of Gentleman Cornell. You shall be freed.
Gracias, senor. Come closer to the cell door. I can give the keys to you. Hold your land and hire, so I can see which is right key.
Which of these keys on the ring is it here?
I hold them up close to the bar to point it out. Bueno. Not that big key there, but this! You do not think I will hit you through cell door, huh?
Why, you cheap double crosser! You'll live to regret that trick. Why, I'll frame you to stay in jail for the rest of your cursed life.
Oh, you fool. You think because I am reformed, I am soft like old woman, eh? I would not give you money if I were to be hanged tomorrow.
You'll pay for that, Pancho Lobo. You'll rot in jail for that, I promise you. I promise you!
Sheriff Cornell, shouting threats of vengeance and nursing his rapidly swelling jaw, leaves the jail and hurries up the main street to Ace Kimball's dance palace. Meanwhile, at the Antlers Hotel, Gold Pan Jeffers, satisfied the wire rope lassos are ready, speaks to Cyclone and Charlie.
Well, gents, Them wire ropes is going to be dandy. Handing busted. Before midnight, we uns is going to have El Lobo out of that consarn jailhouse.
Yes, sir, but you all ain't done so telling me. Just how we going to do it.
By Jiminy, that's a light, Mr. Gopan. How we are going to do?
Well, I tell you, we'll take our horses and El Lobos down to the jail. When we get there, we fasten these here wire ropes onto them iron window bars. Then we snub them onto our saddle horns and start their horses to a pulling.
Holy mackerel! We make a pull bar out of his cell window?
Oh, Lord, but suppose them bars ain't inclined to pull out?
They're going to come out. They're going to pull out of that old adobe just like it was talcum powder.
Oh, I think a very fine idea. Very good. More better, maybe so. We make a start right now?
Now, just a minute, Charlie. First, we uns have got to be sure that mangy sheriff, Gentleman Cornell, is kept busy. And, more important, away from the jail.
Oh, how we do that, please?
Well, that's going to be your job, Charlie.
Oh, my job? What I am going to do?
We're going to fix you up so you look like a bandit with a big handkerchief around your face and 2 6-guns.
Charlie and Cyclone, wide-eyed at Jeffers' last remark, follow him down onto the street. After a few moments, they stop in front of the gaily lit Golden Nugget Casino. Jeffers leads them into the shadow of one of its many entrance halls. Glancing around, he motions Charlie and Cyclone closer.
Well, gents, if and we're going to get El Lobo out of jail, we're going to have to act fast here. Now, Charlie, at exactly midnight, you're going to go in through that door there and start a shooting ruckus in the casino.
Oh, I make it to 12 o'clock.
Yep. Then start a firing at them big oil lamps hanging from the ceiling. And start to yelling loud, mighty loud, Sheriff, Sheriff, Sheriff. That's going to start a panic in there. And that two-bit sheriff will come running this way.
Say, doggone, that's a fine idea. But what you want me to do, Mr. Jeffers?
Well, listen, I tell you. Now, Cyclone, I want you to get all the horses and hightail them there to the jailhouse at exactly midnight.
Yes, sir. I'm going to do it.
Well, it's mighty near 12 now, so get to going there.
Yes, sir. I'll leave them. I'll have the horses there just about 12. Sure enough, sir.
Now, Charlie boy, turn around here. I want you to tie this handkerchief around your face for a mask.
Oh, I tie on your face.
Yeah, tie it tight there. Now, cover everything but your eyes. That's it, kind of shh. That's it, get it there. Now, good luck to you, Charlie. I'm heading for the jail to get them lassos rigged. And for Pete's sake, don't you miss them lights.
Charlie crouches in the dark hallway, face hidden by the big bandana handkerchief, his two guns drawn, waiting for the first stroke of midnight. Cyclone quickly rounds up the four horses and sits hidden from the moon beneath a clump of dense cottonwood trees near the jail. Jeffers slips silently under cover beneath the water tank that stands a few yards from the cell window. Slowly, the minutes drag by. Then, it's the hour for the midnight rendezvous.
Oh, by golly. Now 12 o'clock. Oh, I go in the dance hall. Then I make you shoot out all the light and yell sheriff. Oh, this is a place all full of people. More better hurry or they make a shooty me. Now I make a shooty.
Sheriff! Sheriff! That's a sheriff!
Hey, light yourself! Get the sheriff here! Sheriff! Sheriff!
Get the sheriff!
Sheriff!
Lady Luck is with Charlie. Long before his blazing six guns are emptied, the big lamps that lit the golden nugget are out. His call for the sheriff is taken up by the crowd who mill around in the casino. Charlie rushes back through the darkened hallway and runs for the jail. Gold Pan Jeffers, with the wire rope lassos rigged on the iron bars of the jail window, waits anxiously outside El Lobo's cell for his two companions.
Say, El Lobo, I hear the firing at the casino. Charlie must have shut them lights out.
All I can say is I know Jeffers. I hope he doesn't miss them.
He ain't going to miss. That little Chinese is a ding-busted good shot. Yes, sir. Hey, come swing with me. Here comes Psycho and them horses.
Yes, Mr. Jeffers. Ho, ho. Ho. Oh, Lord. Is everything ready? I done hear Charlie firing there at the Golden Nugget.
Yeah, it's all ready. Now get back on your horse. Snub this wire rope to your saddle horn. We ain't got a minute.
Yeah, for sure. Get it out. I put it on you. I've got it fast.
All right, then I'll join you. Now, easy. Easy there.
Uh-oh. Say, here comes Charlie.
All right. I come. Oh, I know can make you believe. Oh, I learned really fast.
Hey, Dad, burn it, Charlie. You got all them lights out, did you?
Oh, all the light out and everybody calling for the sheriff.
Well, good. Now grab that last rope hanging there from the window bars. Mount and tie it to your saddle horn.
Oh, hold on. I do. Hold on, get on the horse. Oh, steady. Now I'm making picture lope. He fixing.
All right, now, gents, tighten up on them ropes.
Yeah, sir. Oh, come on here. Easy. Ho, ho. Now, I've got my rope tied, yeah, sir.
I let it go, Mr. Goldman.
Dandy. Now, gents, we uns have got to hit the pull all together. That's the important part of it. So when I tell you, you get them bang tails to moving all at the same time.
Say, Lobo, get back from that there cell window, because when we start pulling, ain't no telling what's going to break.
I stand back, senores. I hope your horse is strong enough to pull the iron bar out.
Well, come, Swiglet. In a few seconds, we're going to know, ain't we? All right, gents. This is it. Take up the slack there. Easy. Easy.
Yeah, but come on.
Okay, right now, stow. Steady with the strain, all of you. Get up alongside me there, Charlie.
Hold on. All of it.
Well, fellas, it's now or never. Oh!
The three horses, driving their powerful legs deep into the loose dirt, strain against the tightening wires that run from their saddle horns to the iron bars of the jail window. Urged by their riders, the willing horses fling their whole weight against the taut cables that twang and hum under the terrific stress of the load. Will they succeed in liberating El Lobo? Be sure and tune in next week for The Reckoning. The Adventures of Charlie Lung is written and portrayed by one man, Charlie Lung, the man of 100 voices.
This is Jerry Hendiga saying stay tuned for more of these great old radio classics.
The music by Dave Bacall, sound by Bob Conlon and Parker Cornell, and engineering by Joe Kay. Production and direction by Jack Lyman. This is Bruce Anson speaking for Hal Gibney from Hollywood's Radio City. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.